Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
Hello guys and welcome to another episode. Today's episode is the Fulham preview, half four, Villa Park on Sunday. So going straight into it, Brad, what are we thinking?
We need a comfortable win. We just need to hit them how we hit Spurs in the first half. But make this time round, they do have a lot of talent and I think they are. But I just hope we keep pressure on them by taking 3 points and a comfortable win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It feels like forever since Villa have played. And maybe it's the break that we needed. It just seemed to me that we weren't getting anywhere after our past few games. We were going through a bit of a sticky point where nothing happened for us and the players sort of, like, everything we tried just weren't paying off. And it just felt like we're going into every game a bit on the second foot and everything. So I think the break is what's needed. Yes, we had players on international duty, but I think most of them did quite well. And we still had quite a full camp, if I'm going to be honest, at the training ground as well. So I think that was good. But like you said, we need the win because the game's coming up. You would say Fulham is an easier opponent. That's nothing against Fulham. We're just looking at the facts and where they are in the league. They have got some danger players and they've got some players that can change a game. But with a 2 week break, our back five back to how it should be, with obviously Cash coming back, I'm very confident that we'll be solid at the back. It's just, can we stop this inconsistent attacking? But obviously, the big news, Jack's been training for how long? So maybe that's going to change the game.
Yeah, hopefully it will. And like you say, we are safe, but all the good work at the start of the season will be forgotten if we start dropping on the table and start finishing 15th, 16th. So we need to use this game as a bit of a platform. Because if we don't and we start dropping on the table, then, you know, we know what our fans can be like. They could turn on Smith as a drop as a hat. So I don't want to give them a reason. So Bruce, you say it is. There is some very hard fixtures coming up, so it's a golden ticket, really, to get 3 points against a relegation side. Hopefully, the international break will be as good as Project Restart. So, hopefully.
Yeah, I just think it's just going to be freshness back in the squad. I just think fresh ideas. Everyone just takes a step back a bit and have a look and see what we've been doing wrong the past few months and just get back into the habit of the old Villa at the start of the season. And I just think if we just sort of have a, if we have a very good start to the season and we had a bit of a sticky middle, then let's have a good end. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that's the season that we have, then we'll be top 10. But like you said, if we sort of start coming down and we finish 14th or 13th, no one will remember the really good unbeaten run at the start of the season. No one will remember the Liverpool win, the Leicester away. No one would care about any of that if we finish 14th or 13th or 14th. So,
yeah,
hopefully this break's going to help us. But what sort of changes would you do? Sort of like, what would the lineup be?
Well, my lineup is, to be fair, it's Martinez in goal, which I think we're all going to agree on that. Target Mins, Cons of Cash, as always. See, this is quite interesting now because the lineup I had was Louise and McGinn with Sanson more forward. But the way that he's been playing for Scotland, which is a more forward role, I'd probably swap Sanson for McGinn and go Louise, Sanson, and then McGinn in the hole with Jack Traore, you know, on the wings with Watkins up front, and just give it a try, just because it's worked so well for Scotland.
I can't agree enough. That was exactly, I'm not going to lie, we've not spoken to each other before about our lineups, but that's exactly what I'm going to be doing. As in, McGinn, how he's smashing it for Scotland. He needs to be doing that for Villa. It seems to me that when he plays for Villa, we put a bit of the shackles on him because we keep him in front of the back four. Yes, he's got the engine for it, but he's banging them in for Scotland. And I'm like, well, we need goals. So why aren't we using him? So I'll do exactly the same as you. Luiz in front of the back four and Samson sort of close to him. And then McGinn behind Watkins. I don't think Barkley should come back into the team. He's not showing anything. But he is a favourite from Smith. So it'll be interesting to see what it does. But yeah, exactly the same line, exactly the same lineup with Martinez in goal. The back four of Cash, Target, Mings and Konsa. Again, we've got, 14, 15 clean sheets out of it. So I think we'll finish on about 18 plus, or what I think, by the end of the season. The midfield, I just said, and then Watkins at top because fantastic international break for him. First shot on target, first goal. So well done to him. Torre scored on his international break as well. Again, awesome. So he'll be buzzing. And then hopefully Dean Smith isn't teasing us and Jack is back because he's a game changer. Let's just not forget that. He's a game changer.
He is. And looking from some of the stats, I don't know if you've got this one in your holster, ready to drop out, but with in Dean Smith's Aston Villa side, the win ratio without Jack is 18%. So that's obviously Smith, that includes the championship, and with him in the team, it's 45% win. So it just shows how much of a big impact he has on our results, to be fair. So I know people say we're not a one-man team, but let's be fair, we kind of are.
Well, the results have shown, that stat's shown, yeah. At the moment, we said on the last podcast, we don't want to be called a one-man team, but we didn't do ourselves any favours when Jack was out. So, unfortunately, at the moment, we are a one-man team. The good thing with Jack coming back in as well, Watkins is going to have a stupid amount of chances now. As you know, Jack's, the second most assists, and he's got create chances. So Watkins is going to have a lot more that he can play with, and Target will get brought into it a lot more. The middle of the midfield will probably get a lot more off Jack as well. So suddenly the whole dimension of the Villa team will be changed if Jack plays. So it's just a massive boost throughout the whole team, and obviously he's the captain as well, isn't he? So I just think it'll be a mega boost on every department.
Yeah, it will do. And talking about boosts, Konsa signed his new deal today, so which I don't think anyone can really argue against. I thought it was fully deserved. So it's another one tied down for a long term.
Yeah, I mean, that's going from after. I'm sure it means and McGinn and Jack joined the list of newly signed contracts. Don't know. I'm sure the start of the season they signed theirs as well. So, I mean, there's rumours obviously of Luiz and Tom Heaton and Target and Cash maybe having improved deals and stuff. So it just shows you that the owners want to keep their best players, want to keep them for long, and they don't, like, we're not a selling club now. Do you know what I mean? So I'm really glad that all these players are getting looked at and rewarded. Quans has had the season of his career at the moment. He's one clean sheet away from beating Aston Villa's record of clean sheets. It just shows. I mean, he should be in the England team, in my opinion. But it was just really, really good to get him signed up. And yeah, I'm just really, really happy about it. It just shows that we're looking for the long term and we're not just sort of in for the money, like as in we'll sell him when he's only got 2 years left or anything. It seems to me that we've got a long sort of plan, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it does. And obviously, due to that contract being signed, it kind of takes us into the polls. So the poll result that I asked was on the Media Madness, which was quoted from Ashley Priest, was who had a better season between Target and Cash. You said Target, I said Cash. 75% said Target said has had the better season. You know, it's quite further out than what I thought it would be. I thought it'd be a bit closer, but as you said, rightly so, Cash has been out for a few weeks, which has probably pushed the polls further one-sided.
Yeah, I knew it would be like that, but I mean, it's a flip of a coin, isn't it? It's one of those. They're both playing great. It's like, you know, I mean, that's probably why we do these questions, though, isn't it? Because then we can see what people really think. But I appreciate everyone voting, though, and it sort of, you can sort of have more of a a fan's view when you put it to a poll, because fans from all backgrounds will vote. So it's really good to see.
Yeah, it is. And as we just said about Cons on a new contract, so our poll for this week is, obviously, Cons has signed up now to a new deal, as we said. Who should be next? Should it be Target or Luiz, in your opinion?
After this season, as the season's going at the moment, people are going to hate me for saying this, I think. I think Target. I want Luiz to stop, but this cloud of can go back next season and stuff, and he's not had some of the best games, as he's been dropped a few games, and I'm just like, to me, Target's playing himself into a new contract, like Konza did. So yeah, as much as I want Luiz to stop, and I hope he does, I still would take Target as, like, yeah, basically Target. I just think he's playing his way to a new improved deal, and fair play if he gets one.
To be fair, again, I don't think there's a wrong answer this week. It could go either way. But for me, I'm going to go Luiz. Basically, I think if we can get him signed to a new deal, I think that basically puts his future to bed and that he's going to stay. So, and obviously, he's Brazilian international, you know, and obviously there's that clause hanging over their head from Man City. So if we can get him signed up to a new deal, it means basically he's going to stay. So I'm going to go Luiz.
Yeah, as I said, there is no wrong or right answer, isn't it? It's one of those. But they'll probably both sign it. It would be interesting with the Luiz one, though. Even if he signs it, his clause will still be in there. I don't know how. I mean, I don't think it's as easy as they'll just offer a contract and the clause will be taken out. And it's not as easy as that, because Man City put the thing in. So it would have to be agreement with them. So to me, if Luiz signs the deal, that means to me he won't leave in the summer. What's the point signing a deal for a few months? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I think too. That's why I'm going to go Luiz, just because it makes it set in stone to what he's going to be, that he's going to be a Villa player. Moving on now to the prediction for the Fulham game. So what's your prediction?
I'm just going to go through a few stats of players in danger, man, just to this affects your opinion on where we're going to, what the thing's going to be. All right, so Villa have lost 2, won 1 and drew 2. Not the best, but not the worst, but certainly not top 10, top 8 form. Fulham have lost 3, won 1 and drew 1. Again, that it doesn't look good on paper, but Fulham in general, in the last, say, 5 to 10 games, have done better. I mean, in those last 5 games, they beat Liverpool at home. I mean, I think everyone and their dog has beat Liverpool at home this season, but it's still a really good result. And they went to that resurgence, I think, where Fulham won. I think they're unbeaten like in 4 games or something, and they're doing really, really well. So they're not a team to underestimate, in my opinion, because, yes, they're in the bottom 3, but they could easily be out of it in 2 games. It's just the results haven't gone their way at the moment. The danger men, I've put the top goal scorer is Bobby Reid with 5 goals. And then Lookman with 4 goals. But Lookman is also their top assist with 4 assists. It may not sound like a lot, but for a club that's at the bottom, he's still doing bits. Do you know what I mean? And they've also got, I don't know if you've watched it, but the Sunderland Till I Die programme. They've got a old Sunderland player called Maja. I don't know if you've watched it. But basically, he was at Sunderland and then he left in January. And it was, and he left in January. And I think he left to a French team, but he was smashing it for Sunderland. But you speak to Sunderland fans and they're not happy because he left quite cheaply because he didn't have long left. But he's came in and scored 2 goals already since January. So he's doing really, really good. He's just like a little, I think Maja to me is like a Darren Bent. He's just a fox in the box and he does really well. So he'll be one to look at. And then, obviously, you've got the target man of Mitrovic, but I've not seen him start lately. But again, it could be a secret weapon off the bench. You just don't know. So I'm not saying their team's bad, but I'm not saying it's good. But they have the danger men, and Scott Parker's not doing a bad job there.
No, he's not. And I think As I said, what I think will happen, I think they will, as I said in that part, I think they'll stay up. I think Newcastle will drop into the bottom three, and I think Fulham's got enough quality to stay up. And I just think that they're going to do quite well. Especially like you said, they've got a few goal scorers across the team now, and Lookman is pretty much been touted now. I don't think he's going to be at Fulham next season. I think he's going to go for bigger money elsewhere. So I was going to go 2-0 originally, but after your little stats and facts, I still think we're going to win, but I think it's going to be 2-1. I'm going to go Watkins, Jack and Madger.
I'm quite optimistic. I think the break's going to do us well. I actually think we're going to be 2-0. So I'm going to go with your original score. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet because our back five is back. Like the whole back five is back. Cash had 2 weeks of training, 2 weeks of like not match fitness, but he should be up to where he needs to be now. So I think the back five is going to be massive for us. Watkins is going to be buzzing from his international duty. If Jack is back, I don't think we need to worry about maybe losing it. I still think it'll be 2-0. But it could be 2-1. I do think we'll win, but I just think Fulham is the ideal team to get our record-breaking clean sheet from.
Yeah, that'll be nice. And as you say, you know, Watkins scoring for England as well. Like I said before, he's a bit of a patch striker. So hopefully he carries on that form. But talking about strikers, what's your opinion on Wesley? Because obviously he played today and he went off hobbling, or, you know, at least he had ice pack on his leg from his under 23. So what do you think?
I saw that and I did a bit of, I'm not going to say research, I just went on Twitter. But this is much research as I do. And one of the, I don't know if it's Greg or Percy or whatever, they said that he got taken off as precaution. He wanted to play longer, but he got taken off as a precaution. He lasted 36 minutes. He didn't really do anything, but obviously, you know, it is what it is. But these are the sort of games where he needs to just get the minutes in, so I can't judge him. But it does worry me slightly that every time he goes down holding his knee, is that him done for another season? So I need to see him in more friendlies, more games. He needs to build up his fitness again and he needs to use his knee a lot more. But it was good to see him out there. But I think if this carries on, like everyone's scared about his knee, it needs to be the point where we need to get a striker in, regardless if he's going to be fit or not, because we can't rely that he'll be fully sort of fit.
Yeah. My opinion is on it that basically, to come off after 36 minutes, I know they say it's a precaution, but I don't think it's a precaution that was said before the game makes sense. I reckon I haven't seen the game or highlights or anything like this. It's just working off, you know, just my opinion of it. For him to go after 36 minutes just says to me that there's something not right there. They don't want to make something worse. So I don't know whether it's a physical thing or a mental thing, but for him to be constantly worried about his leg is just not a good thing. And like you say, one more injury or something like that, it could write him off, you know, as a player. Although, you don't know if this is actually writing as a player, you know, in come the summer, that he's just not going to ever get fit again. You know, we don't know the extent until he starts playing minutes. And as you say, to come off after 36 minutes just says to me that, yeah, okay, then fair enough, it's a precaution, but I don't think it was, you know, just take slightly. I reckon they've done it out of, we've got to get him kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to think, he was against under 23s, and I think his injury was caused by, I don't think no one even went into him. He went for a shot, and his standing leg was the leg that he'd done over, and it just twisted or something. So it's like, you're playing against kids here, and they're not even going 100%. When you come across centre-backs in the Premier League, like, you're coming against, like, absolute animals. They're not going to care about your injury. Do you know what I mean? So you can't always wrap them up in cotton wool. But I'm hoping this is just, like, a precaution, as they say, and he comes back and he's fine. Because I don't want him to not have a Villa career. I think he could do really well for us. I just think it's going to take a lot longer than people think. If he's only lasting 36 minutes in an under-23 game, I will be surprised if we see him until May, in my opinion. And that's not good. But in that same match, Barry scored another goal. So surely he's not doing his chances any harm either.
No, and I've been saying this pretty much, I'd say, before his injury, where he was had his leg in cast for casters on crutches or whatever it was. I don't know Davis's minutes, because I think he can do a lot more in those minutes than Davis can. So, as you say, he did himself no harm. And he played alongside, you know, a £20-plus million striker who's just coming back from injury. You know, I think he should be there playing now, because we're struggling on the striker front because we've only really got Watkins.
Yeah, Davis isn't working, like, as another option. He's not working as a secret weapon off the bench. He's not working as the, we're losing, let's bring him on. It's not working. He's not helped. He's not done any assists. He's not scored any goals before he's came on and helped. It's nothing against the kid. Using him as this Peter Crouch, like, bring him off the bench and just hoof the balls up, isn't working. Let's try Barry as that secret weapon now and see if that changes anything, because clearly Davis isn't the answer to what we need. And that's nothing against Davis whatsoever, but he just isn't doing it. So, yeah, I just think give Barry a go on the bench, bring him on for the last 10 minutes and see what he can do in the last 5 or 10 minutes instead of Davis. And also in that match, the under-21 captain, Kessler, scored another goal. I mean, he's pushing to be second choice right back next season. I tell you, he's smashing it.
Yeah, he is. And he's, for me, needs to be number two. I mean, I know we've got Gilbert to come back, but let's on loan and have a 35-year-old Prince of Egypt take your place, says to me that Gilbert's not in Smith's, he's not going to be in his squad. And I don't think we'll see in a Villa shirt again for one reason or another. And I think Gilbert's part of that. So I have, like we've talked about, when we're going to do our transfer one, right back's been of an issue with Elmo going, possibly Gilbert going. I have no problem in, not getting one and then just upgrading number two to Cash.
Yeah, now 100%. I don't think right back's a problem for next season. If Gilbert comes back sound, he can fight out with Kessler as number two. But if Kessler's the only one that's there, I've got no problems in him being the backup. He seems to be smashing it. He's a captain. I just think he'll be really, really good. And he's only going to, if he keeps training with the first team as well, he's only going to improve. And yeah, I just think right back now, I'm not even bothered about. I think of all the kids coming through, him, Barry, are the main two that probably been touted for coming up. But in my opinion, Kessler's probably tipping it because I can see him in it more, because with Almo going, there'll be a space left. So I really, really hope he continues what he's doing this season and he will earn his right to be in the team next season. So it's really, really impressive to see what the under-23s are doing. And maybe all this focus on the youth is actually going to come to a head soon, because it looks like our kids are actually doing really, really well. So yeah, it's, for me, we do need to dip into the kids more. It's just a shame we haven't got someone at left back in under-23s like we do at right back, because then left back wouldn't be a problem, but we haven't got that luxury at the moment. I don't think whoever plays at left back hasn't been mentioned at all, so I still think left back will be a problem for next season.
And like I say, that'll be a position we'll probably more than likely invest in. But, as you say, the future is bright at the moment, and it is for the under-23s. So hopefully come next season, there'll be a fair few more under-23s in the main squad, and hopefully Barry and Kessler are just the start.
100%. I can't wait. Cannot wait. I can't wait for the game on Sunday, because it's felt forever. I mean, the only good thing about the international duty is that England won 3 out of 3. As much as I find the game's incredibly boring, for 3 out of 3 is good. The thing with England games is I don't mind watching them, but they just bore me because we're against teams that you've not even heard of, and it just frustrate me. But when we get into tournaments, it's a different story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's why at the moment I'm still just bubbling on the surface for England, and when it comes to the Euros, I'll be all over it as always.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is obviously we've won 3 out of 3, so happy with that. All right, guys, well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Fulham preview. I hope you've enjoyed it. And hopefully that Villa win. But the next episode out should be, we'll try and do it, I don't know if Sunday night will be too quick, so it could be Monday, it could be Tuesday. But either way, Tuesday the latest, we should have the review episode out. If you don't already follow us, get on our Twitter and Facebook. There's a lot of content on there that you might find good. If you're new to the podcast setup, we've recorded quite a few episodes now, so it could be worth just listening to a past few of them. If you don't listen to any reviews or previews, we have done like a Q&A and there's a media madness that seems to get in a lot of listens at the moment. So it could be worth just listening to that if you have any spare time. But we'd like to thank everyone for listening. And we'll get an episode out really, really soon. And thank you very much. And up the Villa.
Thank you, guys. See you.